And whenever people gather together to listen about the Ahadith of Rasulullah, and whenever people gather together to do a zikr of Allah and His things, the Malaika suddenly, you know, shower their mercy. They surround them and they bless them and they are making dua. You know, I do not know each one of your names, but the angels that are surrounding Brother Jamshid's house right now knows my name, your name. But wait a second, they don't only just know your name, they know your father's name, your grandfather's name. The whole lineage is there. And each angel is right now, you know, pleading to Allah's Father, oh Allah, forgive this person. Oh Allah, forgive this person, the son of this person, and save them from Jahannam. May Allah's Mother forgive all of us and save us from Nar Jahannam. So the question comes up, how does the leader is groomed? What happens? As we see, where do all of these leaders went? They went through a Murabbi. Salahuddin Ayyubi, who liberated Bayt al-Maqdis, didn't just get an idea all of a sudden one day, oh, let me just rally. It was the nurturing that happened when he was age 0 to 5. How many of us have toddlers at home? You have children from 0 to 5? Anybody? You got one? See? How many of us have less than teenagers, you know, 5 to 12? 5 to 12 year olds. See? See how many leaders you can produce. How many of us have teenager boys or girls? Teenager. In the same way, Salahuddin, he was nurtured by his mother and father and sent to a place where two great imams lived at that time, Nuruddin Zanki and Imaduddin Zanki. Yes, their names are not that much promoted in society, in history, because in the annals of history, whenever the word Salahuddin comes in mind, the mind goes, Bayt al-Maqdis, liberated. In fact, I was reading a newspaper, Arabic newspaper, it had a cartoon. It had the whole battalion, you know, with the caricature and everything, army men with helmets and armor and everything and swords, standing like 500 in line together. And there was a horse in front of it with its saddle and his whole armor and guard ready. And there was a question mark on top of the horse saying, Salahuddin, where are you? In other words, the designer or writer of that caricature cartoon was saying, we need another Salahuddin. And the way he depicted in the picture was, we all are ready, where are you? As if, and the people are looking towards the sky. As if he's implying that from the sky, Allah is going to just throw down some leader for Muslims, go, unite, and start moving. Wrong. That cartoonist, although he did a good thing making that thing, but he forgot one thing. Allah SWT says, leaders are born, leaders are groomed, leaders are nurtured, and then they are formed. So it starts from age zero. It starts from the father, the male, the husband. If I want to be a man who wants to produce a leader, I'm going to choose the right kind of wife that I want. I want to choose the right kind of mother for my kids in the first place. But of course, the question then comes up, what if I'm already married? My wife is already there. I have no longer the choice to choose. But in the words of my uncle Mujahid here, he would say, no, there's always a second chance, and a third, and a fourth. You can keep on looking. But let's stick to having the wife you have. There's nothing wrong if you've married and now you feel that she's not that religious the way that I have become. A lot of times it happens for males that when they go through soul-searching and self-rectification and a kind of a revolution within their mind and soul, they begin to start, you know, pointing fingers on wife. Look at Rasulullah in his seerah, in his sunnah, what kind of a husband he was. How he molded his wives. And that is what the Quran is saying in this ayah that I start off with. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa bima faddala Allah ba'dhum 'ala ba'd. The ayah in Surah Nisa that Allah tells us, the men are the friends and protectors and the caretakers of women because of what Allah has blessed on each one of them separately, individually, uniquely. Yes, Allah has made man and woman equal, but Allah has given them biological differences, temperamental differences, sensual differences, emotional differences, and these are intact in its own entirety. It does not in any way diminish the equality ratio. Unfortunately today the society has become breeded in such a way, oh, equal means shoulder to shoulder, shanamachan. If the men are playing this game, women have to play that. If the men are doing this thing, the women have to do that. So suddenly now you have women bodybuilders, women muscle magazines with biceps and triceps, whatnot. You have women wrestlers, you have women kabaddi players, you have women boxers, you have women everything. Because for the last 65 years, the feminist movement in society has brainwashed and programmed the woman society that, look, your equality means that you have to do tit for tat. Equality means exactly in the footsteps. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving more daraja. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create Isa ibn Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, without a father? What's the message of that? Which humanity today has faltered and swayed, thinking, oh, that is a son of God. Oh, that is a special thing. Oh, it's an unusual thing. No man touched him. No, the message, profound message that Allah is giving, women are have a slighter edge over men because Allah did not create a son or a daughter from a man. Yes, He did create Hawa from Adam, but that was in the same ratio, not as a. So Allah is not saying that, look, I can make mothers mothers without even a man touching. And the purpose of that was to show that, look, she was a pious lady, a Virgin Mary, a righteous young lady, who from her Allah produced a prophet, a leader, a dynamic leader, who has still unfinished job done. In a sense, he'll come back and finish and complete his life cycle. So Allah SWT is saying that, look, it's okay to say equal, but understand your individual roles. What is the role of a woman, a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter? What is the role of a man, a husband, a father, a brother, a son? And that is what Allah SWT is saying in this era, that the men have been divinely ordained, obligated by Allah to be at the forefront, at the helm of affairs of society. Why? Because بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah has given special fadl, privilege, honor, blessing, bounty to each gender. Yes, Allah gave the woman the blessing, father, of being mothers. Fathers never give birth to any children. So Allah has given that on. If now you want to be equal, bring children from fathers. Yes, you might say Arnold Schwarzenegger made a movie and he became a father, but that's all hoax and fantasy land. Let's come to the reality world where Allah is saying something, He means it. There is a far-fetching wisdom behind it. And Allah is saying, look, fathers or husbands, you have been given the role to groom and nurture this young mind into a leader, into a progressive, dynamic person who would rally the whole society behind him. And then, and the wife or the mother is there to nurture and groom her in terms of all kinds of intrinsic values. Because why? The father spends very little time with the son or daughter at home. Half the time, or more than half the time, the father is busy what? For the financial caretaking of the children. So who's left at home? Mother. But who is nurturing the mother also? The father. And that is what Allah's mother is saying. That groom your wife, nurture your wife, mold her into the Quran and Sunnah, mold her into the taqwa and the piety, so that when you're away from home, she keeps her dignity, her honor, her prestige intact. She doesn't become a kind of fahisha woman, an ill, immodest, immoral, ill-finding, ill-thought woman that would let any stranger in her house or would go out and have a nice kind of relationship, which will be a very demeaning kind of depiction on the children, thinking, what kind of mom I have? She sees everyone other than my father because the father is busy. Allah's mother has said that on the day of judgment, I will ask every male, every husband and father, did you work hard enough to provide the financial backing for the family, for the wife, for the kids? Allah will not ask any woman on the day of judgment, why didn't you work? Why didn't you get a paycheck? Why didn't you take care of the bills? If she works, that's a different dimension of its own. That's some other day to be discussed. Right now we're talking about why has Allah given the fadl, the privilege, to one on the other? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to accomplish a centrifugal goal. And that goal is to upbring a dynamic humanity society on this world, which can be role models to others. That's what Allah said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِي لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَانَ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in that area, you are the best of nations created for humanity, for mankind. Meaning from the time of Adam alayhi salam to the last person born on this earth, the Muslim society has to be a role model society for others to see, this is how a husband should be, this is how a wife should be, this is how a father and mother should be, this is how a family nucleus should be, this is how a community and neighborhood should be, this is how a nation, ummah, should be. But that universal goal can only be accomplished if the two pilots of this ship, of this plane, of this car, are in sync with the Quran. That is what this ayah is saying. Ar-rijalu qawwamun 'ala an-nisa. Feminist movements and many liberalistic kind of people misconstrue and misinterpret this ayah, saying, oh look, Allah is very discriminatory, racist. He's giving privilege to men. He's saying men are dictators, are the slave owners of these women. No. Rasulullah in fact in the hadith himself said that look, when you marry, you have not enslaved your wife. She's not a slave, she's a free woman, free person born in this earth. So do not treat them like slave, in a slavery attitude. Meaning treat with them the best. And there's so many hadiths of Rasulullah about the husband-wife relationship. He said the best of you are the best of you to your wives. The best of you are the best of you in ikhlaq, towards the wives. Things like that. If you put the whole pieces of the puzzle together, you get a global picture. What this ayah is saying. This ayah is saying Allah has mandated for men to do the laborious, difficult kind of jobs, to do the outside work, while the inside grooming and nurturing and the growth should be done by the mother who has to spend so much time with her. Of course, if the kids grow up and start moving out of the house in the sense that they're moving to school, they're going to school and at home she's alone, now she can at least work during the daytime. But if the mother primarily leaves her primary job that Allah has mandated for her by instituting how He made Maryam the mother of Isa alayhi salam, and that is another inspiration Allah gave over there. You know, in this world we always say Baqanam, what's the father's name? You know, say son of this or daughter of this, you know, Fulan ibn Fulan. For Isa alayhi salam, do you ever know there is no father's name? Allah gave him and his mother the privilege that he will be always till Qiyamah, and even after Qiyamah on the Day of Judgment, Isa alayhi salam will not be called by his father's name but the mother's name. To answer the queries of all those mothers who say, why is it a male chauvinistic society where everywhere you go to fill up a form it says what's the father's name first? No, Isa ibn Maryam. Throughout the Quran it's mentioned Isa ibn Maryam, Isa the son of Mary, Isa the son of Mary, not Isa the son of some other one. Meaning Allah's mother is saying, if I wanted to, I would have done it this way for humanity. But the reason I've made the system of society that a man and a female get together and then they have kids, and the person and the kid is denoted or popularized through the father's lineage and genealogy, is because there's a system to follow. But if Allah wants to break the system, He did for Isa alayhi salam, which humanity then misunderstood and said, oh, he's the son of God. Because whenever there's a child born, there has to be father. Since no man touched her, that means God is the father. But that is what, that's the ill thought, sickening of the mind. Because Allah's mother is giving a message, Allah is the king, the sovereign, Al-Malik, the owner of dominion. If he wants, he can do anything he wants. He can create a child without a father even. But since he has made the society to go in such a way, it is for a reason and purpose. Because that is how, whenever you take the name of Salahuddin or Umar ibn Khattab, there's always the father's name, the lineage, the genealogy going, the khandan, generation going. He's the son or the grandson or the great-grandson of such. You always give reference to the malehood. Do you ever say he's the great-grandson of that woman? Unless that woman became famous. If you say he's the great-grandson of Rabia Basriya, because she was a woman who was very pious and famous in Baghdad, Basra area at that time. So Allah SWT is making us understand, realize, how the harmony and hegemony works with male, female, father and mother and husband, wife kind of grooming, so that now the child can come. But wait a second, before you can teach the child, have we as fathers, as husbands, as amir of the house, really know who we are? Do we have or equip ourselves with leadership skills? Do we have the resources to be mentors of our own children? Or are we too busy making the dollars or the greenbacks or the dough and everything, because this God-given right that Allah has given us has gone in some backdoor database channel which has not come forward? Because Rasulullah in his seerah, his sunnah, he showed that he's a father, he's a grandfather, he's a husband, he's a universal leader for the ummah, he's a commander-in-chief, he's the teacher also, he's everything. Do you know why is it that so many things of the hadith of Rasulullah, he envisioned that everything in a way that would automatically groom the males as leaders of their household? Why is it when it comes to salah, he says, if you are praying at home, then pray with your family, and you, the husband, the father, be the amir, be the imam of your house. Why is there another hadith where Rasulullah says, if you go to somebody's house and the time for prayer comes, do not get up to be imam unless and until you have permission from who? Allah, Rasulullah? Yes, in a way. Because he says, unless you have permission from the host of the house. It is his sultanate, his sultan. It is his dominion. You have gone into his kingdom. When somebody invites, I cannot stand on the prayer. Any other waqtas, I cannot stand on the prayer unless Brother Jamshid says, yes, you have my free permission. You have my right to be there. And that is why Rasul encouraged that if you as a man do ever happen to pray, although he did say, of course, that men they should pray in Jama'ah in the masjid. But if for some reason they could not make it to the Jama'ah, now they're praying, don't pray alone at home. Pray as a Jama'ah at home. Have your son and daughter next to you. Have your wife next to you. Say, let's all pray as a family together, Isha, Maghrib. And then after the Salah, give them a little tidbit, a pep talk, to show that, look, you are the Amir. Why did Rasulullah say that the father or husband is the Amir of the household? It was not to discriminate the woman and say, or derogate them, oh, women have no rights in Islam, women cannot be leaders. No. It is to show that, look, there has to be a smooth flow, less friction, whenever there is something moving towards progressive universal goal. So you can't have two heads in anything. If you have two leaders or two CEOs in a company, do you think that company will work? MashaAllah, we see in America there's so many mergers. This company buys that company is sold by that company. Do they keep the old company CEO? No, they would give them some incentive, some other thing. Why? Because humanity from aql, from logic, elementary logic, understands if you have two leaders, two captains of something, it'll be difficult. There'll be so much friction. And that's why Allah is saying in the Quran, why do you do shirk? Why do you think that there's more than one God, one ilah? لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا أَلِهَتَيْنِ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ Allah says in Surah Anbiya that if there was more than one God on this earth, the earth will have fasad, chaos, chaotic. Imagine there are two gods. Just for example, for the sake of argument. The one God will say the sun will come out. The other God says, no, I don't want the sun to come out right now. One God is saying this area has to have rain, send the clouds. The other God says no. So it is human logic, instinct, that for anything to work with unison, with smooth flow, without friction, it has to have one leader. Why the male? There's a hint for that. Because Allah did not send any prophet that is a female. I know every time we say this, many of the sisters, they get very, very, you know, sort of erratic. They're, oh, wait a second, this is discrimination. Yes, Allah did not send, this is ittifaq of ulama, this is ijma, that no prophet was sent by Allah on earth as a woman. And yes, there are only a small group of scholars who say that Maryam was a prophet, but the others say no, she may have had the rutbah, maqam equal to that, but she was higher, she was the mother of a prophet. Allah is saying, if women have not been made prophets by Allah, then Allah has given them an ala maqam, an higher maqam, they are the mothers of prophets, in a way. Why? The answer to that question is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to accomplish his goal of hidayah, guidance on earth, through manifest. And there are so many reasons we can give, as the ulama have given, in terms of hikmah, wisdom. Number one, biological differences. There is the issue of tahara every month for the woman issue. So how would she be a leader in the forefronts of the society when she has to go through the tantrums and other things and tahara issues? How can she be the imam leading the salah? Well, nowadays in 2005 we saw that lady came to Manhattan and she led Jummah Salah. It was a big, you see that uproar? It happened only for 2-3 months. Now do we hear about her? Do you see the media, you know, kicking things about her in the society? No. It was just to give a sure halagulla so that the Muslim Ummah gets busy in this argument, debate. Oh, why can't she be man? Why can't she do this? What? And now everything is subsided. Everything is subdued. Because the conspiracies of enemies of Islam is always to make the Muslims busy in little nitty-gritty things so that they are obscured from the main goal, which is what? Iqamat al-Din. That's why they're scared from these things. But the issue here is very clear. Allah's mother is saying that woman is a source of zina. Allah himself is saying in the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 30, that زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. The first thing that comes after that opening of the ayah, مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالذَّحَرِ وَالْقَنَاتِيرِ and everything. Allah is saying, it has been beautified, adorned, what? For humanity, from various things. A, from woman, B, from gold, from silver, from money, from assets, from many things. The first thing mentioned over there is woman. Allah is saying, I've made this whole world muzayyin with the issue of woman. So be careful of woman. Meaning woman is a source of zina, source of attraction, glitter and glamour. That means she has to be covered in pakizgi, in purity and sincerity. She has to be, you know, sort of morality and modesty. And that is why Allah sent Maryam as a woman, Virgin Mary, to society to show that, look, women can be pious and virtuous and righteous. And yet she gives birth by the permission of Allah to show that it's not considered anything in the sense wrong. Because that's what humanity thought. Without a man, that means she's a very bad woman. She's a very bad thing. But Allah is saying that He, in Allah, istafa Maryam. Allah is saying in the Quran many places that He has chosen Maryam over all the women on earth to show that the piety of women, the heights of glory of women, is very high maqam. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that if I have sent prophets, khalifas, amirs, imams, as men, there's a reason. There are so many biological things, and then there are so many psychological things. Yes, men and women are created equal, but there's an emotional turmoil. Women tend to be more emotional. Suddenly, that's why there are so many little things in deen we can extract and extrapolate and show. Yes, Allah has made both equal, both have respect and daraja, but they're different in the creation, in the way Allah has created, with the temperament, with the biology, with the genes, with the DNA. You know that the issue of talaq, Allah has given authority to men to say three times, talaq, 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 end. Kiss, finished, game over. But do the women have it? No. Women have the right for talaq, but it's not called talaq, it's called khula. Even the word, the terminology used by Arabic language is different. To envision the minds of people that, look, Allah is giving a far-fetching message. That if I have given one gender the right to end a lifelong relationship suddenly, while I haven't given the other, because it's very seldom that the man would end it in a very emotional turmoil. Albeit that people do get, males, husbands do get angry, and then they say it in the anger, and then they come back with remorse and guilt, nadaman, oh, Hafiz Saab, Imam Saab, oh, the big thing has happened, I said those three words. But what is the ratio of that happening compared to women? That is why Allah said, for women, if she wants to end the relationship, she has to go through khula. She has to use a qadi, an amir, a judge, and say, I want to end this relationship. She cannot just pronounce three words to the husband, say, I'm packing my bags, I'm leaving. Although they do that, but they go to the father's house and they file the paperwork. But Allah has not done that. Why? To show that there is a radical movement in the biology, in the genes. So sudden pressure and sudden things, stress, duress can happen, and she might do some drastic event that would cause lifelong injuries. Whereas the man, Allah is saying, he has, although, of course, this should not be taken in the context that they're not equal, they are equal. But Allah is giving a bigger message that, look, if men have been given so many responsibilities, it's because they have also been given the privilege of so many authorities. That he is the Amir of the house. Amir, by the way, does not mean dictator, does not mean tyrant, does not mean someone who just rules by the iron hand fist. If you want to see what is an Amir, look at Rasulullah. He was a father, a husband. Did he ever use the stick? Did he ever touch the skin of any of his wives? Because today people, many husbands say, oh, it's okay to hit women. Oh, it's okay to use force. Oh, look, there's an ayah in the Quran. Keep all that aside. Look at the person who brought the message, brought the Quran. Did he ever use anything? There's a message in that, that whenever Allah tells us something is Amir, meaning Allah wants us, the males, to be leaders. Why? Because you work on the grassroots, you groom, nurture leaders. That is how they come up to the upper echelons of society. That is how you elect your leaders, through election process. They'll first become the mayor or councillor of the area, then they'll go into the National Assembly, the Provincial Assembly, they'll become the minister, then the prime minister, then the president. You think these presidents are just coming overnight? No, it goes through a streamlined process, supposedly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, through this streaming process of choosing leaders, if we groom and nurture the leaders in the house as husbands and fathers, then only they can reach up to that upper level. So now when society will choose their leader, their president, their khalifa or their amir, if he or she together with the family properly implemented Islam in their life, they would be the proper leader. When Abu Bakr was chosen as Khalifa, when Umar al-Zalani was chosen as Khalifa, when Ali and Uthman al-Anhum were chosen as Khalifa. Why? Because they were all graduates from Madras of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not just graduates, but they were alumni and implementing the rules and regulations that Allah has envisioned in them in their houses. But look at the same time, Allah is showing the other side of these charismatic leaders, dynamic. When one Sahabi said he was having a conflict with his wife at home, he said, let me go and talk to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifa of Waqt, Umar ibn Khattab, that this wife is giving me a heck of a time, what should I do? Should I use force, beating or thing? When he's going and knocks on the door, before he even puts the first knock on the door, he hears voices inside of the wife of Umar ibn Khattab talking in a high-pitched voice to the Amir. And the Amir, the charismatic leader, for who is mentioned in society that if he would step out on the street, people would shiver and their hair would be raised on the skin. He is listening to his wife. So the Sahabi turned back automatically, suddenly 180 degrees, didn't even bother knocking and disturbing the Amir of Mu'mineen. He said, if he is having bardash, patience, and the temperament to absorb things from his wife, I should create in myself also. This is the meaning of Amir. This is the meaning of Amir, spending time as fathers, as husbands. We get very little time. There is two things in the psychology of time taught today. Quality time, quantity time. What is quality time? Time that does not really hinge on duration, but on the quality of the goal accomplished. This is by definition quality time. Quantity time does not by definition hinge or rest on a fulcrum or pivot of quality, but on duration. Let me give you examples to make you understand this definition. Number one, quality time. I spend 2 hours with my kids. I take them, my wife, my kids, all together, just one unit as a family, nucleus, to the park. We go around the lake, we do some boating, we eat some sandwiches. Then we sit down and I say, look, we will pray together, maybe Dhuhr or Asr, whatever the time is. Then we'll do some ta'aleem, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. We'll talk about something, but I will not speak. You all speak. Son, you speak. Daughter, you speak. Wife, you speak. And I will wrap up the whole thing. 2 hours, you invested in quality time. People enjoyed, entertained, learned something, also had an outing, outdoor event. Quality time. Because when you, at the end, when you come back home and you ask your kids, beta, baby, son, daughter, how do you like today? Oh, it was awesome. That was excellent. Go, go again. That's good. This is your dividend, you return, you spend quality time. Let's come to quantity time. You say, okay, let's take a minivan, we're going to rent, we're going to go down to Florida or Six Flags or Walt Disney. We're going to spend 14-15 hours driving, 14-15 hours driving back, spending a weekend over there. All this quantity time. The whole thing is based on what? Quantity. Chunks and chunks of time you spend. But when you come back and you say, oh, how was it? Everybody's draining and drooping and starving, and you ask them, did you learn something? Just maybe a few. Look at the amount of time you invested, almost 4 or 5 days, so many hours, 72 or so many more hours, but the return that you got, very little. Compared to this 2 hours that you spent, return, you got maybe 14 hours of work. This is the definition between quality and quantity time. As emirs, as leaders of the household, it is our way of understanding, how can I maximize my profit, as we always say in the business world, in minimum amount of time. As a father, as a husband, I have so many duties, obligation, responsibility outside the house, so I get very seldom little time for inside the house. So how should I manage my time inside the house in such a way that I can not only just groom and nurture my kids, my wife, but also have a self-training process where I become also a leader. Look at the vision of Rasulullah as a leader. He's the prophet of the waqt. He's the Nabi Rasul at that time. So he is a universal leader. On him are the responsibilities, zimmedari of the whole ummah, not just his family. Today we are leaders in our households only. Maybe some of us might get into the masjid active or some other association active. We might get secretary, treasurer, president. We get a little more busy, start having complaints from the home ministry. Time management. Look at him. He is the Nabi of the Ummah, and he's teaching a profound message in this narration. When the Arabi came in Medina once, he said, where is Muhammad? Mahdi alayhi salam. You know, the Arabs, Bedouin, they were nomadic people. They didn't have that much adab at that time. So many times they would come into Medina and say, I want to see Muhammad. And the Sahaba, of course, or the people in Medina would say, oh, go towards there to the masjid, you'll find him. So he went from, you know, bazaar, street, avenue, channels, all the way until he went to Masjid Nabi. And he said, asking people, when he reached there, this tribal person coming from the desert, from the nomads, he has certain expectation level of Rasulullah. He has certain threshold that he can absorb and digest and think, this is how the leader should be. This is how a prophet of the Ummah should be. So he has this thing in a visualistic way in his mind, expectation we call it. As soon as he enters, he sees Rasul Sallam on four, as the Al-Arba, as the Hadith says. Al-Arba meaning he up in a good nigga. He's like a, he has become a horse, and who is on Rasul Sallam's back? Hassan Hussein, Sayyid Shabab Al-Jannah, Rayhana of Rasul Sallam, the coolness of the eyes of Rasul Sallam, and the masters of the youth on Jannah, Hassan and Hussein, Raytal Anhum, the grandchildren, grandsons of Rasul Sallam, were on his back. And Rasul Sallam is saying to them, what a good rider you guys are. He's enjoying quality time. He has very little time. He has a lot of responsibilities. Zimadar, he's the Nabi of the Ummah. He doesn't have so much time to spend, but whatever time he finds, he tries to find. Number one, we have to try to find time for the house, for the wife, for the kids. Because people say, often at times, the rhetoric you hear, oh ji, main toh baar ka kaam kar raha, tum ghar ka bhi nahi kar sakti, ghar ko toh samalo, bachon ko samalo. Mera kaam baar ka hai, mera kaam dollar lana hai, bas, ek dollar pakdo, phalo, aise phir aage baar chalna. No, Allah subhanahu did not say, your work is only dollar, your work is more than a dollar, double, dora. Why do you say Allah said, ar-rijalu qawwamun al-nisa? Why did Allah give the qawwama, the leadership, Amir, Umara to men? Because Allah is saying you have dohra, you have double workload on you. Women are not demanded to go by Allah to go outside and work and bring money for the house. Men are demanded. Plus men are also demanded to groom and nurture the house, the wife, the kids. In such a way you produce leaders. So that Arabi said, Subhanallah. He became Muslim. He was not a Muslim. He said, I bear witness that there's no Allah except, there's no Ilah except Allah, and that this man, Muhammad al-Arabi alayhi salam, is the last and final messenger of Allah. I have never seen such a man who, having so much responsibility, burden of thing on his shoulder, he's finding time. For who? Not kids, grandkids. Today we do find for grandkids. When? When we become grandfather. जब दादा नानी हो गए दांत गिरना शुरू हो गए और जब रिटायरमेंट की जिंदगी चलो पोते पोतियों नवासियों के साथ खेल बट दोज प्राइम टाइम ऑफ योर लाइफ व्हेन यू फर्स्ट मैरिड एज 25 26 30 अंटिल यू बिकेम रिटायर्ड एट एज 60 दोज प्राइम टाइम ऑफ योर लाइफ व्हाट डिड यू डू व्हाट डिड यू अचीव डिड यू मोटिवेट समवन डिड यू मेक समवन डायनामिक डिड यू प्रोड्यूस समथिंग डिड यू मेक योर लाइफ मीनिंगफुल एंड वी कंक्लूड विद दिस थिंग what lahi amal kyanach, what should be our practical daily plan? How can we do this? We discussed today in entirety how to be an amir of the house, how to be a leader. Because the next leader of any of these 57 Muslim countries has to come from me and you. We are on the grassroots level. Somebody from here down below will go and travel through the upper echelons of society of the political process until they become a leader. Because that's how leaders were chosen in the history of Islam. Nobody just brought someone a musallat kar diya upar se. No. If we had any of this kind of infrastructure in our 57 Muslim countries, I swear by Allah, wallah azim, today we would have had dynamic leaders in these 57 countries. But you know what? You pick up any of these Muslim countries from Indonesia, Malaysia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar, pick any of these countries. Investigate with a magnifying glass. Do they have an infrastructure? Do they have a protocol system to groom leaders? Are the imams and the maulvis in the from the member preaching, not preaching, teaching by role models? And look, this is who you should be. This is how you should be. This is who you should be working for. Because I beg to differ, and that's why I get labeled by these so-called maulvis that this guy is not a maulvi. He America platform. He's a modern maulvi. He's not. No, these things are bogus things, leave that alone. The goal here should be, where is the Ummah going? Where is the Muslim society going? Where is you and I, the Muslim family going? Where are we heading to? Are we just wasting our lives? Are we just living our lives? Because look, this life will go through. This 4 days of life, a man will take. You're going to die anyway. You're going to live anyway. So why not live a meaningful life? These leaders, Umar ibn Khattab, Salahuddin Ayyubi, Nuruddin Zangi, Ali Uthman ibn Anhum, Umar of Abu Bakr, all of these, they lived a life of meaningfulness. Look in the words of Umar ibn Khattab, he said, we were born, we were raised by our parents. We were living in this world just like animals. Just a bear back in it. We were just going on and on until Allah sent us a leader, a dynamic person, who changed not our minds but our hearts 180 degrees, that those who used to bury their daughters alive yesterday are today producing such daughters who becoming Ummul Mu'mineen. This is the words of Umar ibn Khattab. He was crying so profusely that his beard became wet, drenched in water, and one of the companions also came and said, Ma yabkika ya Amir Mu'mineen, what cries you, O leader of the faithful? He says, I'm remembering that day when Umar, the ignorant in Jahiliyyah, the one who was ignorant of Islam, was burning his daughter alive. And I'm listening to this ayah in the Quran that Allah revealed that وَإِذَا الْمَعُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ مِكَاجُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ خُدَى وَلِّ تَعَالَى. What answer will I give to Allah when Allah will recite this ayah to in front of me, Umar ibn Khattab, that look, وَإِذَا الْمَعُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, and when the newborn child, baby girl will ask, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, what was my sin that I died alive, that I was buried alive, what was my gunah, my sin, what did I do, just because I was a girl? So he was remembering that day, ki main Allah ko kya jawab dunga? What answer will I give to Allah on the day of judgment that I, Umar ibn Khattab in Jahiliyyah, buried my daughter alive? Who is speaking this? About whom? Rasulullah said, Umar fil Jannah, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, till the end. The 10 Ashra Mubashira. Meaning Rasulullah in his life gave him Bashara, gave him the certificate, diploma. You are guaranteed Jannah. Oh my, don't worry about your past. He is still worrying about his past. Why? Because this is what I want to conclude with. To be a dynamic father, to be a progressive leader, to be a motivational, inspirational emir of the house, you have to have soul searching. No matter what luxuries you have. Umar ibn Khattab had the luxury of Jannah. Aaj humne apni dairy ki Jannat banayi hai America mein. Umar ibn Khattab had the palace of Jannah. Yet he is soul searching, investigating, asking himself, what answer will I give Allah? Forget about us answering Allah. We are so weak in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that we can't even answer for ourselves, let alone answer for our children, our sons and daughters. So the practical plan for a dynamic father, a husband, a leader of the house, number one, soul searching, contemplation, reflection. What am I doing? Am I just working 9 to 5 like a machine, like a robot? My only job is just to bring money, raise my kids, put them through college, make them, have them a nice marital life, marry them off, have grandchildren, that's it. My life has no meaning. The only meaning I have is take a nice vacation, go back to Pakistan, do some Hajj, Umrah, or have this thing. Islam is not a dull, boring religion. Islam is not a fanatic fundamentalist religion in the sense that the media portrays today. That Islam has no glitter, no glamour, no. Islam mein bas ajzi, inkisari, Islam mein bas buja buja rehna, Islam mein mohabbat nahi kisi cheez se, dunya se mohabbat, no. Islam says moderation, darmiyana rakh. Islam says have everything but with moderation. If you're enjoying the luxuries of life, if you're enjoying the details of everything in society, be also mindful of that luxury that who gave it to you? Allah. So what should you do? Thank Him. How? Verbally? Yes. But not enough? No. You can't just say, Shukr Ya Allah, Allah Shukr. Or after every meal, khana or any meal, you say, Alhamdulillah Shukr Allah. No, that's the least we can do. Shukr of Allah means practically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عباد الشكور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing, commanding Dawood al-Islam, the Prophet of Allah, that all the family, آل داود, or family of David, physically, اعملوا, عمل, physically do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how do you do physically shukr of Allah? عبادات, this salah, siyam, zakat, hajj, all these things are practical things for us to give thanks to Allah. And you know, in each of these things, we are being groomed as leaders. By we, I mean the fathers, the husbands. When it comes to salah, Allah's mother said, pray in the jama' in the masjid. So when the son and daughter sees, mashallah, my father is very active, very punctual, they learn from you. Have you ever seen those two? I'll give you a small example. Two-year-old and three-year-old come and start making sijda, sujood, and ruku. Mashallah. Abhi to namaz bhi farz nahi. How does he know about salah? Ah, father must be praying at home. Or something like his own mother. Yes, mother too. But children catch more from father. You can ask any mother. The mother might be doing something 10 times, the children catches on the 10th time. Father does it once. Ek loves, ek action, one facial expression once, the son and daughter catches very fast. Why? You ask any pediatrician, any psychiatrist, they tell you. Because children's psychology is, when they spend little time with the person they spend, they try to catch their things more rapidly, fast. And when they spend more time with the person they spend, they take longer time. So if the mother is at home and spending time with them, they will learn from the mothers, yes, but in a more gradual process. The father, they very seldom see them. Morning he leaves, night he comes. So whatever time they get, they catch. Har adat, they quickly catch it. The father, the son, 2-3 years will start doing the same thing. Father, the daughter will do this. You say, hey, kisi sika? But they don't even know how to speak at that time. They're 2-3 years old, but they say, oh, mammy mara, because they are looking for you. They're thirsty for you, the males. So that's why the males are the amir of the house. They need to envision in such a way. And that is why whatever the male does, and I always say this for husbands, because it's very important. You know, when we are young, we just get married, 25, 26, young, shabab, energy. So we like to have a lot of, you know, music, Kishore Kumar, Mukesh, Rafi. Well, now that is the old generation, maybe when we were growing up. Now generation is more new people. I don't know. I've been out of touch for 20 years now. They are listening. So listening where? In the car. I give you two examples. One family got into their minivan. They're going to a place. Any place they're going. They got from their house into the minivan. As soon as everybody got in the car, the son daughter says, Baba, Baba, wo naat laga de. Or the daughter says, Baba, Baba, wo Sheikh Sudesh ki kaset laga de. We want to listen to Surah Quraysh, Surah Ikhlas. Okay, beta. Okay, beti. That's it. This family A. Family B got in the minivan. They're going somewhere. They see that, Baba, Baba, wo Shah Rukh Khan ka laga de. Baba, Baba, wo Kajol ka laga de. Or something like that. That music. And what happens when these two families sit in the same minivan? It happened. Real life example. These two families, A and B, got in the same minivan, going to some destination. As soon as they got in, family B's daughter said, Baba, Baba, put that music, put that little song. And family A's children said, what? And the embarrassment and the shyness, oh, the family is there. Because that family never knew that Mr. A and Mr. B and Mrs. B used to listen to music. There's another example that when these two people reach somewhere over there in that house on the TV, there was some, I mean, cassette playing, a video cassette or something, some movie or something, a dance scene came. This family B's girl went in front of the TV and started doing the latest dance moves. And this family A's son and daughter, who's also that same age group, said, Mama, Mama, wo haram cheez kar rahi hai. Mama. You see, who are the people who are giving these young toddlers the vision? Me and you, the fathers and the mothers. Both are from different backgrounds, different families. Both are fathers and both are mothers. But both have a different perspective and grip on life. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That you as the father and mother are the caretakers of your own destiny. You are the charge in charge of your own future in the way how you want to groom and nurture. The reason I say that is because when usually soul searching and motivation comes what? After age 40. Nubuwat bhi logo jo mili wo 40 ke baad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave prophecy and prophethood to men after 40. Because Allah said in the Quran also in a way, of course there are some like Isa al-Islam was a prophet at young age and others, Ibrahim al-Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the ayah in Surah 46, حَتَّى بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ بَلَغَ 40 سَنَةً قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, حَتَّى بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, until his strength. The ayah starts off with, وَوَا سَيْنَ الْإِنسَانِ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنَ, that وَوَدَعْتُ أُمُّهُ كُرْحَى. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have enjoined insan to be good to their parents, and the whole ayah is there. Hafiz al-Hayyiz can inform more, I'm not a Hafiz. But remember the part of the ayah, in Surah Al-Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that the person goes through the stages of life and phases of society, حَتَّى بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, until his strength comes in full. وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, right after that word comes, until he has reached or she has reached 40. Meaning at age 40, stability, before that there is halchal. From age 25 to 40, there is a lot of halchal. Hormones, genes, whatever, new marriage, new family, husband, wife, honeymoon, kids, young, everything is there. But by age 40, there is stability, terao. Meaning people start thinking, where are we heading? Where are we going? It's kind of like you're going on a journey from here to Florida. By the time you reach North Carolina, you say, oh, where are we going? Are we really going towards Florida or somewhere else? Because from New Jersey to North Carolina, the whole excitement and the enthusiasm of the journey, the adventure was kicking in. So people didn't realize time passed very fast. But by age 40, the person gets fickle, akal samaj, maturity, wisdom, hikmah. And Allah says, Qala, the person says, Qala Rabbi, O my Rabb, O my Allah, awzi'ni, give me, inspire me, give me the enthusiasm, the encouragement. أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي. Oh Allah, give me the inspiration, the enthusiasm and encouragement to thank you for all the blessings, ni'mah you blessed on me, not just me, oh Allah, on my parents. أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا, and that I do a righteous good deed. This Allah is saying in the Quran, in the ayah himself, that every insan begins to get tawfiq from Allah after 40. Then maybe I should do some good deeds also. Kuch neke bhi karne chahiye. Bahut halla gulla shor ho gaya. Bahut ayashi ho gayi. Ab to 40, ab to baal bhi sufed hona shuru ho gaya. Daadi bhi sufed. This automatically comes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, how about if you get this feeling before 40, when you first married, before marriage, in college days, when you were in the lalakpan, bachpan and shabab, or before that even when you were young in the school, how about if you get it from that young age, when you get that, then for you is not just Jannah, but on the Day of Judgment you have the Sire of the Arsh of Rahman. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran is bombarding us with ayats, not to make us demoralized, because we always, this is a phenomenon, it's a myth I say, and it really is a myth because it's not a reality. There's a phenomenon and myth in the world today, whether it's America or anywhere, to be religious means to be a very boring person. To be religious means to be a fanatic fundamentalist. To be a religious person means that you can't enjoy the luxuries of life. To be religious means you can't have adventure, entertainment in your life. You can't have fun in life. In fact, it's the opposite. Islam, as you know, many times you've heard in khutbahs, and Islam is a system, not a religion. Religion is what? Hinduism. Religion is what? Christianity. Religion is what? Judaism. Religion is what? Taoism. Religion is what? Sikhism, Buddhism. These are religions. Islam is not a religion, it's a system. Because a religion, by definition of Western dictionary, if you look at it, it's a bunch of rituals and customs that are set together and are done on a specific time. Religion is Hinduism. Go to the mandir, do janta mantra, ring the bells, pranam, ashnam, everything, that's it. Other than that, in life, there is nothing holding you back, whether you do ghibah, cursing, fighting, do anything. Of course, like in the words of Richard Nixon, he said in his book one time, for ethics, you don't really need religion. Because an atheist, an agnostic person is also ethical. Because for ethics, you need logic. If you are being groomed and nurtured in a nice mahal environment, this is the words of Richard Nixon in his book that he wrote many years ago. If you've been groomed and brought up in a nice environment, you will have ethical behavior. And that's why he says, look to America. There's so much ethics over here. Why do you think every Imam Sahib Maulvi Sahib, when he lands on JFK, he says, بس کاش کہ یہ شہادہ پڑھ لی تو ہم سے بھی اچھے مسلمان بس شہادہ نہیں ان کے اندر. But very seldom that Maulvis are things. It's not religion that is making them ethical. It's not religion that making them stop at the red light at 2 in the morning. It's not religion that is making them ethical to not cheat and steal from the company. Although they do it at bigger words, at bigger things. But look how ethical they are. They put Enron scandal WorldCom scandal. They come to justice. Even so ethical in a way, not because of religion, but because of ethics, that the President Clinton had to sarjukhana pada. He had to be almost to the level of impeach. In other words, religion just gives you a bunch of rituals, customs that you do on a certain level. That's what religion is. That, oh, go every Sunday, do the things, Bible study, then come back. Religion is go every Saturday, synagogue, observe the business. Religion is, okay, Friday night, Sabbath started, let's not drive the car. Religion is Buddhism, okay, I have to wear that kind of dress, put some sort of tikka here. This is a religion. Unfortunately for us Muslims, we have made Islam into a religion. It was a system. We also are now doing the same pretext, just go on Friday, on Sunday, or some other program, that's it. Islam is a system, that you have a financial system, organize your finances, monetary interactions, know how to manage everything financially, know what is the difference between riba and non-riba, know how to engage in society in such financial adventures that brings progressiveness and dynamism. This is system, not a religion. This is system that when you live in your life, do remember to pay back for the different things that you have received from other people. This is system, not a religion. This is a system that when your parents are going old, don't just desert them and throw them on the sideboards or homeless shelter or senior citizen home, because that's what religions do, but not systems. It is there that look, they took pains to bring you up. They took pains to stay up all night when you were young and crying. Not because the father and mother is crying because of a leg pain, because of some other disease in the body. And you say, oh, let him put it in a senior citizen home. That nurse paid $25 an hour to take care of better than me. This is religion, not system. System says you can never pay back for parents. System says envision the look, parental involvement in your kids, because of grandparents and grandchildren, is more productive for you as a father and mother, because they learned heritage, ancestry, they learned adab, manners from elders, they learned the warmth of relationship, emotions from elders, because the parents may be busy in other things of life. So, I know it's gone too long, so I'll finish. There are so many other steps to take. Maybe some other day we'll finish if Brother Jamshed invites again. Maybe next summer we'll do part two of how practically producing dynamic leaders from these people, the males, the fathers, the husbands. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wassalatu wassalam. If you have any questions or anything, inshallah, you can ask.
Well, I have a question.